Good evening, everyone, from Gustavus City Hall. This is Mayor Taylor. It's 7 p.m., and I'd like to call to order the January 17, 2022 general meeting for the Gustavus City Council. Madam Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Sharman?
Here.
Councilmember Makowiak? Councilmember Makowiak, you might be muted.
Looks like he's connecting to audio on the screen.
Okay, we'll skip him for now. Councilmember Fur?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Still showing connecting to audio.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Here.
There he is.
All right, we got you. All seven council members are present and a quorum exists.
Excellent. Our first item is to remind ourselves of what we're here for, what our vision is for this city, for this community, and Lewis Sharman is scheduled to read our vision statement tonight. Lewis?
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you very much. For the public, as it turns out, we have no public members in the room here. Just for those of you online here in City Hall, besides myself as Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop, City Clerk Karen Platt, and Treasurer Eduardo Loggins. For those of you joining us online, thank you very much for being with us tonight. Remember to mute your phones and keep your video off. The meeting is being recorded and will be posted on the website. The packet will be projected with Council or Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop running that show for us. And it's also available online at cms.gustavus-ak.gov. So the first item is approval of the minutes of the 12/13/2021 general meeting minutes. That's last month's meeting. And I believe Council Member Joe van der Zanden has a motion for us on this. Council Member van der Zanden, please.
Excuse me, I was looking at some other stuff. What's the motion?
You get to move the approval of the December 13, 2021 general meeting minutes, please.
Sorry about that. Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the minutes of the December 21 general meeting minutes.
Thank you. Do we have a
second? I'll second that.
Please?
I'll second that.
Is that Councilmember Muscoviac, I believe?
Yes.
Okay, it's been moved. It's been moved and seconded to approve the 12/13/2021 general meeting minutes. The minutes have been distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? If so, raise your hand on the Zoom. Seeing none, do any members of the council wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, hearing none, are there any objections to passing the December 13, 2021 general meeting minutes by unanimous consent? I see no objections. If so, the motion for unanimous consent approving the minutes is passed. The next item is mayor's request for agenda changes. And I have a couple of changes we need to make to our agenda. They are to remove items 12 and 13 from the agenda. Item 12 is our facility use agreement, and I'm removing it for now because we had some excellent input from members of the public who had read the posted agenda and seen it on there and commented with some suggestions for improvement. So we are taking on board those suggestions, and they're very good. And I think we'll be able to come to the council with an amended version of that will be much improved. And so I'm removing it from this agenda, and we're going to put it on our special meeting agenda for next Monday night, the 24th. So look for it. To appear in the packet that'll come out Wednesday for the special meeting on the 24th. And the other item that we're removing is item 13, a liquor license renewal. We had an error in the title of that regarding the business for which the license renewal was intended. And so we are rescheduling that. We will repost that for the special meeting also next Monday and deal with it then. I want to make a reminder on that, again, on the liquor license item. Liquor license renewal requests are considered quasi-judicial items, and therefore we must avoid ex parte, that means outside the hearing, investigations or discussions discussions with anybody about it. We base our decision on the content of the application, which will appear in the packet, and on comments brought forth by the public or council members during the hearing. So that's the way we'll handle it. And it's just a little different than other items that we handle that are not quasi-judicial. So please read that, the application, when it appears in the agenda for the special meeting, and be ready to act on whether or not we wish to object to that license item. So those two items will be removed. Are there any requests from the council for items other than that for removing from the council? Okay, if there are no other changes, then the agenda is set. And the next item on our agenda is committee reports and staff reports, since we don't have committees working. And our presenters for the report will, our staff, they'll be presenting for up to 5 minutes or so. And the first is the Volunteer Fire Department quarterly report from Chief Martinez.
Excuse me, Chief Mr. Martinez, Mayor.
You're on.
Mike, Mayor, this is Bella. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Bella.
Leah has her hand up. So before we move on, I just want to make sure we get to her.
Well, it's not this agenda item changes was only for council members to comment on or to ask for. It's not open for a public input on this item.
Okay, thank you.
If she has something that she'd like to bring up, she could do it during non-agenda items if it's a non-agenda item, or wait for the agenda item to come up. But thank you for that. I had noticed Leah's hand up, and I'm sorry I can't call on her at this point of the agenda. Okay, so then Chief Martinez, are you ready for a report?
Yes, I am here. So not much happened over the months, just a lot of big items. Like October, me and five other volunteers were able to get training to teach other people CPR classes, both types of Heart Saver, which is for the public, and BLS for responders. And we're able to install the side step for the ambulance. And thank you, Steve Devaney, for helping out installing it. And November also, the big item was we had a successful EMT refresher, which included the expanded scope of that came out in 2019, which brought us back up. Tsunami siren was actually installed. I'm gonna have to back in November. We're still waiting on power, but I think we're waiting on other items as well before we do anything like that. And December, the America Firefighter Grant got extended to end of this week. I've been working on that, and hopefully we'll be working on that. And also be looking for an EMT2 class for volunteers. So I found one for myself in Juneau. Be going to there in February for a couple weeks. Was able to move the PCR COVID testing to the Juneau. It's still with Search. It was going to Sitka in the past, but able to move to Juneau. Hopefully it will shorten the time. Everybody generally knows took PCR in the past and know the time frame. It'd be actually great. I'm looking for some feedback. And are also looking for anybody who wants to become get a CPR card, first aid card. Everybody is interested in getting a card. It's like $50 per person. It basically covers the book, the card, and a pocket mask. Go ahead and give the fire department a call.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Do any council members have any questions for Chief Martinez on his report? Okay, I'm not seeing any. I do hope some people take advantage of the opportunities for the EMT2 class. Anybody who's an EMT1? Having EMT2s in the department really expands our capability on a response. And we have ALS ambulance service, and to be able to provide that level of service, we really do need more EMT2s to be very helpful. And also the general public to take advantage of the CPR and first aid classes is a benefit for everybody. So thank you very, very much, Chief. The next report is from our city clerk. Madam Clerk.
Thank you. Not a lot has happened since my last report. I did complete a 5-day free FEMA course on public information officer basics. It's part of a series of courses, and I will continue courses as time allows to become certified as a public information officer. Around the office, we finally were able to get all of the equipment required to conduct in-person and Zoom meetings. a little hybrid of both. And we're still limited on space here. It's a small area. But we hope to get as many council members here in the same room as possible, as you know, as you guys are available and can make that happen. We've got room for 4 members of the public with social distancing, and it'll be on a first come first serve basis. So definitely limited there, and masks are required in City Hall. This month, I've started cleaning the beach outhouses while Ben is off for the winter months. He'll be back in the spring in April. And that's fine. I do that once a week on Wednesdays when I do my town errands. It's not always super accessible because there's a snow berm there. So, you know, I'll just do that as much as possible as long as it's accessible. And you know, if people are abusing the outhouses, I'm probably not going to be interested in cleaning that up. So as long as it's going well, they'll remain unlocked. And if it doesn't go well, well, we'll have to lock them. I'm also doing the taking care of the City Hall's trash now on Wednesdays as well. And I guess that will be a new thing here for City Hall for who knows, forever probably. So those are 2 things that are kind of added to my plate. Hey, and
Karen, excuse me for a sec. Can we double check and make sure your voice is going out over the air? On my screen, it shows, I know you're on 2 of these, but one of them at least shows muted. And I wasn't hearing you over our mic, over our speakers here.
Tom, could you confirm that you're hearing me through the Zoom?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Sorry for that interruption then. I just wasn't sure it was going out.
No problem. And with the new current year, I'm going through records, through our records destruction schedule to sort through things that are slated for destruction, and prepping files for the upcoming years. I'm also working on updating our public records management policy and procedure. And that also includes a retention schedule. And so just going through that with a fine tooth comb and updating that to include the missing items that should be on there. And the last thing is that I met with Jesse Soder. I'm sorry, I spelled your name wrong in my report. And she is going to start maintaining their library page on our website, which is super helpful to me. So thank you, Jesse. I really appreciate that. I don't have anything to add to my report, but I'm available if any of you have any questions.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Do any council members have a question? It looks like Louis Sharman has his hand up. Councilmember Sharman.
Yeah, thanks for a great report, Karen. I wanted to make really sure that members of the public are clearly aware that there is access to City Hall now for members of the public wishing to attend in-person council meetings like tonight's meeting, and has been that way for a couple of meetings now. And we had one member of the public attend in person last month and nobody tonight. So I hope that's not because members of the public are not aware that they're welcome and up to 4 of them are able to come and participate in meetings in person. So thanks.
Thanks, Louis. Yeah, I have put out a couple, I've suggested that in a few news group emails that I've sent out, but please spread the word.
Okay, any other council member questions for our city clerk? Okay, looks like that's it. Thank you very much for the report, Madam Clerk. The next item is for our next report is from our city treasurer, Madam Treasurer. I'm not hearing you yet, Eduarda.
Good evening. Can you hear me now?
Oh, there she is. Now we can hear you. Thank
you. Well, I would like, good evening, everybody. I would like to point out that I have a sheet on my financial reports, that is the F and BA checking account, unrestricted funds balance. On the first line that says CARES Act remaining funds, this line was not updated. It should be zero. We are going to put out a correct sheet as soon as possible.
Eduarda, this is the clerk. I'm sorry. For some reason, the sheets did not populate in the new packet that I had given Kyle. Which sheet are you looking at right now? And I'll pull it up on my screen so that everybody can see it.
The file is unrestricted funds status. And the first square says accounts receivable, right? We got it?
Okay, sorry that took me so long. Can you see it now?
No, I'm still seeing the clear through. Oh, here it looks like it's got, there it is.
Yes.
Okay.
There it is.
Frazier.
The CARES Act remaining funds, this line was not updated. It should be zero. So we are going to put out a correct sheet as soon as possible.
Thank you. Any other comments on our report?
No.
Nope. Okay. Do any council members have any questions for the treasurer on the treasurer's report? I'm not seeing anybody wishing to ask a question. I would note that I looked over this report this afternoon, and I think the last spreadsheet on it was something like the 12th. And at that point, we're 198 days through our fiscal year. That's 54% of the fiscal year. Our income revenue was 90.9%, and that's after we adjusted up our expected revenue previously. Our retail tax income is at 96.4% of budget. This is for the full year amount. Room tax was at 161.7% of the budgeted expected tax. Our total tax income is 105.6% of what was budgeted. So we're doing pretty well for being halfway through the year. We've got all of the revenue that we expected and then quite a bit. So we're doing fine on that. On the expense side, now at 54% of the way through the year, we have 57.3% of our budgeted expenses. Road maintenance has been a big expense, and we run on that spreadsheet, we were showing 89.6% of our budget spent, but we have additional invoices that have come in since then. So we're actually over, we've spent our whole budget, 100% of our budget on that. And that's why we have an NCO coming up that will supplement our budget for the rest of the year due to the heavy amount of snow plowing and so forth. And by the way, our total assets in the bank, $4.3 million. So that's over four times our operating budget. We've got a lot in savings. And so financially, we're in good shape. And I'm proud of our administrative crew for keeping things so well managed here. The next report is from our city administrator, Tom Williams, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening, everybody. The first item on my report is a discussion on our septic situation here in town. I've been contacted by a few residents asking about scheduling septic pumping. I spoke with Elm and Justin just to get some information about our service issues. And then I contacted Juno Septic to talk to them. And I also reached out to Sea Level Transport. They all provided me with some good information. I learned that there's about 10 people on the list from last year that didn't get serviced, and they have about another 10 for this year. Juno Septic's had some problems getting to Gustavus, including space on the ferry or getting approval for their truck on the ferry, scheduling to come to Gustavus during a busy part of their season, and the cost benefit for them coming out here. I've heard from some folks that have had to dig holes in their yard or do surface spreading on their yard, on their property. It's not really the way we want to go. It's not sustainable. In the past, I understand we had a storage tank down at the Salmon River Harbor where the lightweight would come up and do pump offs from a tank and then take it to Juno, and then they would pump it off in Juno. We would have somebody here in town that would pump residences and businesses and then transfer them to that storage tank down at the harbor. The proposals here are very similar to that. I won't go through all of those proposals since there's quite a bit, but I did want to say that I've discussed this with Elm and Justin and Joe Vander Zanden, and I wanted to thank them for providing a lot of the information that went into the options of this report. I look forward to hearing more from the council on ideas and suggestions or other actions that we'd like to take. The season is quickly coming up. The current situation with Juno Septic coming out a few times during the summer months isn't going to be able to cover all of the folks that need to get service. The next item that I have on my list has to do with our COVID testing program. All the airport contracts are going to terminate January 31. The PCR testing invoices will need to get submitted to the state on or before March 1st of this year. And that gives them 30 days to get all the invoices paid. The federal grant to the state for COVID testing at the airports ends April 1st. Because of the new Omicron variant, we thought we might get an extension to that grant, but that didn't happen. So under the memorandum of agreement, we can continue to test travelers for anything authorized under that MOA, but that's going to run out of money here shortly. We submitted a non-code ordinance to transfer some funds into the testing program to cover our new tester program. We're going to have one tester with the fire chief being a backup. We're going to do 3 days a week, 3 hours a day. And then we'll have a little extra funds in there for any contingencies needed, like an outbreak or any reason we need additional testing. We'll be putting about $25,000 on that NCO. We have enough rapids tests for approximately 2 months. Because the PCRs have expiration periods, we can only maintain a limited amount. We're currently referring folks for PCR testing to the clinic. We've ordered about 200 home rapid test kits, and we hope to get those soon. There's a bit of a backlog in getting those delivered to municipalities. We'll put funds for the PCR tests and the NCO at the special meeting on the 24th. So just as a recap, we have two contracts that we've been under operating under, and those are about to expire and the funding's about to run out. The next item I have has to do with our second FEMA grant. As you've heard in previous reports, the mayor and I have been working with FEMA and their state representatives to get reimbursed for the work that we've done in response to the December flood event that we had. That's one of the reasons we went through our roads budget so quickly. Quite a bit of work and expense has gone into the repair and restoration of our roads. And the work that Glacier Bay Construction has done for us has been outstanding. I think we've seen that in some of our heavy rain events already this year. However, there's a second state grant that's available working through FEMA that the mayor and I have been working on. That grant is going to be a hydrologic and hydrology study. This H&H study is required for all the other types of projects we were going to submit for. They were primarily culvert work and stormwater management type improvements to help move water off of our roads and away from our resident areas as quickly as possible. But since those required this H&H study, it was recommended and we agreed that doing the H&H study as part of, as the grant project would be in our best interest. This will also be done much quicker than a regular construction project would. Those can take up to 2 years just to get approved. The hydrology study should be able to get approved this year with the study being completed, hopefully mid to late summer next year. We're also working with Todd Boris on that grant application. His expertise and experience is very valuable in ensuring that we make sure we hit all the highlights on the project application. And then as that study gets done, being able to have someone to provide some industry expertise for the folks doing the study will be very valuable. That's all I have, Mayor. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to address those.
Thank you, City Administrator Tom Williams. Do any council members have a question for our City Administrator on his report? Well, I guess it was all very clear. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate that report. We'll move on now to public comment on non-agenda items. This public comment period is for non-agenda items only and is not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you would like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this point, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. State your full name before speaking, please, and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You'll have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief. Let's keep them to 2 minutes. I see we had one hand up there. And I can't see who that is. Sue? Oh, Janish. Oh, it's Janish. My screen's a little small here. So, okay. Janish, you're on for 2 minutes.
I try to be very short. I'd like to just bring to the attention of the council and the public. Byte Networking, the local internet service provider, in December 2020, applied for the Community Connect grant, and you know we were waiting patiently. In the middle of December, the grant was announced, and Byte Networking was chosen as the award from the federal government, from the United States Department of Agriculture. It's a huge opportunity for the savers. I just like to, bring to attention to the council that we did get awarded in this competitive process. And we would like to
excuse me, Janish. Excuse me, we're having a little trouble understanding you. Maybe lean a little closer to your mic. I'm not quite hearing it very well. Maybe it's my old ears, but let's try it again. You can restart your time.
Okay, I would like to announce the some important news on the city. My agenda, I would say, the Byte Networking, which is the local internet provider in the state, was applied for the Community Connect grant in December 2020. We received overwhelming support from the Committee of Gustavus, the City Council as well. We waited, for a year. The grants were announced in the middle of December. And I just like to bring to the attention that there will be a huge opportunity for Gustavus residents to benefit out of the grant. The grant will increase the amount of bandwidth that we are able to bring to Gustavus tenfold. Which means the tenfold pretty much increase in the quality of the bandwidth. We have very good internet in Gustavus comparing to many, many communities in Alaska, though our internet will improve 10 times, not twice, not three times, 10 times. And I just think, how good is this? I expect our internet will be better than any provider provides the internet in general. So that's, if somebody doesn't understand, that's nothing, I can't help it, but that's what it's gonna be. We know how to make the internet and how to make it good. So I can assure you that's my goal, our goal. And we would like to work with the city of Gustavus. I'm sure we can get some help from the process, how to inform the residents. I know you have a list, of, you know, the be glad to send some information to your channel so that more people, there's some people that are not really aware of that. We only made an announcement on Facebook and be glad to do that. The process of building gonna take 2 years. I mean, we have 2 years to do this, and we will try to speed it up as soon as possible. But it's very competitive. Federal funds are used for it. We have to use federal rules of federal code of regulation, you know, 7200 regulates the use of federal funds. And we hope also to get you, you know, help fit the city in regard to that. So we maybe there will be opportunity for us to work as a business to with the city to work together to make it smooth as possible and efficient as possible. That's all I'd like to say. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Thank you very much, and congratulations on getting your grant. Do any council members have any questions for Mr. Kunat? I'm not seeing any more. Again, congratulations, and thank you for your comment. We'll move on to the next is Leah Oaken.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Bella, for the hand recognition earlier. You took item 12 off the agenda on the marine facilities and put it into a special meeting for January 24th, which I'm assuming is not open to public comment. So I'm just wondering if it's going to be moved to a public comment agenda to the February 14th meeting. Thank you.
We don't normally answer questions, but the special meeting has public comment, just like any other general meeting. So we'll have pretty much the same agenda, but there'll just be, it's just an additional meeting other than the normal general meeting. So I think we'll have the opportunity for a comment at that meeting. Yes. Any questions for
great. Thank you.
Leah? Any other council members want to ask a question of Leah? Okay. Thank you. Glad we could deal with that one that easily. Next is Sally McLaughlin. Oh, is there a comment or question from somebody?
Yeah, this is Jim Kearns, but I'll wait until it's my turn. I just don't have the Zoom. Oh. I'm just on the phone.
Okay. I'll remember that you're there, Jim. Thanks. Okay, next is Sally McLaughlin.
Okay. Hi there. I just wanted to comment that when we're listening to you guys that are talking in City Hall, we can usually hear the mayor and the vice mayor very well, but it's really hard to hear Karen at times. When she was giving her report, we could hear her, but most of the time, and this has been true of the last, you know, couple of meetings also, it's really difficult to hear her. So I just wanted to, just wanted to let you know.
Well, that's very helpful to know. We'll try to deal with the volume there. Any questions from council members for Sally McLaughlin? Okay, well, thank you again for that feedback, Sally. That's we'll work on that for sure. Can't miss out hearing it from our city clerk. I think Jim Kearns maybe is the next one on the list. Jim, you're on.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Hey, it sounds like what I was gonna talk about is going to a special meeting on January 24th, but I did want to make a comment reference to the City Gustavus facility use agreement for commercial users of the Marines facilities. And the comment there is, you know, our marine facility is a great thing, but it is not a very safe one. And to have a whole list of things that have to be done other than, you know, regular take care of it and be nice to each other and don't leave your boat there. But to take away all, or to put all the responsibility on the users, the operators, for liability of the dock is just crazy, because it's not a very safe place to operate. And that's exacerbated by the fact that half of the dock that is the most protected part is used up with skiff ramps. So I think that's something that we need to consider when we go through this process. And so that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Any council members have any questions for Jim Kearns? Not seeing anybody else pop up on the screen. So thank you, Jim. We'll take that into consideration going forward, not just for the agreement on the agenda, but for our general maintenance and operation of the facility. So thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Any other members of the public have comment for non-agenda items? I see a couple of hands still up. JK, I guess that was Janish and Sally, but I think you just didn't pull your hands down yet. Okay. Okay, well, then I think that concludes public comment on non-agenda items. There's another opportunity at the end of the meeting, as we mentioned, you know the drill. The next item is the consent agenda. And we have two items on the consent agenda. The first is the certificate of records destruction. And I think most of you are aware of what that is. We have a records retention policy, and our clerk is continuously going, following that policy and making sure that our records are, that we're keeping the things that we have to keep, and we're getting rid of the old stuff that is out of date or no longer necessary per the policy. So this month we've got things on stuff on 4-year-old sales tax, old business permits, council meeting documentations from 10 years ago, committee files and so forth like that, some personnel files that are due for to be removed. So they're on the records, certificate of records destruction that we accept as part of the consent agenda, because it's a routine item. And then the other item is to publish and schedule for public hearing ordinance FY22-11 NCO. It's an ordinance for the City of Gustavus providing for the amendment of department budgets for fiscal year 2022. This is one of our frequent adjustments to the our budget, to our financial part of our operating plan that reflects changes in income and changes in expense needs or opportunities to use some of the unanticipated or extra income that we didn't budget for. And so we have five items on the expense side here this time. There's an extra $5,000 that we want to put in for fire department training that will provide for those EMT2 classes that the chief mentioned. And then, as Tom mentioned in his administrator's report, we are taking over the responsibility for running the testing program, the COVID testing program, because the state ends their funding for it this month. And we felt it was vital to keep that going for our community. So we are appropriating another $5,400 out of some of the extra income we've had to go to cover one rapid tester at $25 per hour, 3 hours a day, 3 days a week. And that program to run through the rest of this fiscal year until July 1. And the fire department is also needing an extra $1,000 for ambulance supplies. We've got to keep those things up so that the EMTs have everything they need when they get a call. And then finally, the big item is road maintenance. As you've heard from Tom, we've gone through our road maintenance budget. Due to the flood repairs we did, a lot of mitigation work we've been doing to improve ditching and so forth to handle floodwaters better. And so far it has worked out quite well. It's been, we've got more to do, but we've spent quite a bit on that. And then there was the unexpected amount of snow plowing. This is as much snow as we've had to plow probably since about 2007. So we ran out of, we've gone through our road maintenance budget for the year. We are anticipating a pretty good payback from FEMA due to our applications to cover our emergency response expenses and recovery expenses from the December flood, but that hasn't come in yet. So in the meantime, we need to appropriate another $55,000 to cover us for the rest of this year and make sure we can handle more snow, which on the way as early as Wednesday, and then the spring maintenance. So we've got $55,000 on there for that. And because we added that, we need that $55,000, we need that budget immediately because we're gonna need to do snow plowing. So we are changing the date for public hearing from February 14 to January 24 to our special meeting. And so rather than move this to new business to make that change, the motion to approve the consent agenda will have a little piece in it to change the public hearing date on this NCO from February 14th to January 24. So we'll be well provisioned to continue the road maintenance. So that's a summary of the NCO. Totaling $67,400 in expenses, but it's more than covered by the extra income that we've had. Do any members of the public wish to remove either of the two items on this from the consent agenda and move it to new business for any reason? I'm seeing none. Do any council members wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda and move to new business? Not seeing any. Okay, then we have a motion from our Vice Mayor, Kyle Bishop.
Yeah, I move to adopt the consent agenda, but with a change in the public hearing date for FY22-11 NCO to read January 24th, 2022.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Do we have a second for this item?
I second that.
Thank you very much. That was Councilmember Furr, I believe, from the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's okay. We've had it's been moved and seconded. If are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing none, the consent agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. Moving on, the next item is ordinance for public hearing. And this is for FY22-10 NCO. Providing for the amendment of departmental budgets for FY22. And this was introduced in December at the general meeting on the 13th. I can get to that on here. This is again one of the one of the opportunities that we take during the year to adjust our budget based on increased income and new opportunities to alter our expense pattern to cover the better the needs of the community using the funds that are available. And it includes some increases to, well, to both income and expenses. I think I'd like to call on our treasurer to give us a quick summary of this NCO, please.
Well, of course. We predicted that we were going to receive more tax income. So, therefore, we propose to amend the budget on the following. We are adding on the first line, the retail tax income. We are adding $75,000 to our original budget that goes from $325,000 to $400,000. The second tax income remote sellers retail tax, we propose a change of $10,000. That brings our original budget from $20,000 to $30,000. The tax income, room tax income, we propose adding $25,000, which will change our original budget from $40,000 to $65,000. The fish box tax, adding on the original budget of $7,500 and to amend and becomes $8,860. On the expense side is the same thing. We propose a change of $260, and this was not covered in our original budget. Therefore, it's only on the column of the amended budget. The DRC contractual services, we propose a change of $30,000, changing the budget from $7,700 to $37,700. The GVFD equipment fuel, as you can see, we propose a change of $300. It was not on the original budget. Therefore, the amended budget is $300. The marine facilities is the same. We propose $375 in change. We originally had in our budget $100. And the amended budget is $475. The next one, I wanted to say that there was a typo error on this line when this NCO was first introduced. It is now corrected and it did not affect the total change in expense. So the change continued to be $5,300 that was proposed, or the original budget is $98,391.46, and the amended budget is $103,691.46. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I note that on the DRC, if you read the fine print on your packet here, that the contractual increase is to cover our household hazardous waste event that's now scheduled for spring. So we're appropriating here $30,000 for contractual services for that. We do these hazardous waste events every few years. We have a new hazardous waste facility now that we're going to put it to use with this event. And the DRC payroll expenses are increased also to cover our extra payroll for staffing for that event. So that's an important opportunity for us to get rid of that hazardous stuff we've got sitting in our garages or wherever page, or, you know, and all that stuff. So, so that's what that's all for. Okay, the time is now 8 o'clock on our clock here, and we'll open the item for public testimony. Do any members of the public have any testimony or comments on this NCO item? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody. Pretty routine here. In that case, we're ready for a motion, and I believe Councilmember Sharman has a motion to approve this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve FY22-10 NCO, providing for the amendment of departmental budgets for fiscal year 2022, as introduced December 13th, 2021.
This is Jim Mack. I'll second that.
Thank you, Councilmember. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve FY22-10 NCO, providing for the amendment of departmental budgets FY22 introduced 12/13/2021. Public testimony is closed, by the way, on this now. And do any council members have any comment on this agenda item? Okay, I'm not seeing any. And so I guess we can go for a vote. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you very much. We've decided to build into the middle of our meeting here a 5-minute break. And so I'm going to call for a 5-minute break now. It's now 8:03 on my clock, so we'll reconvene at 8:08. Thank you. Okay, we're actually a minute late, 8:09, so we'll reconvene. And our next item on business is item 9, and this is resolution CY22-01, mask wearing in city facilities. And For this item, we'll have a motion first, and after it's moved and seconded, I'll read the resolution as required. So I believe we have a motion from Councilmember Furr, please, on this one.
Sure. I move to adopt resolution CY22-01 requiring protective face mask wearing inside enclosed city-owned buildings.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second, Councilmember Sharman.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution CY22-01, mask wearing protective face mask wearing inside city enclosed city owned buildings. Sorry, I think I got it right that time. And I will read this resolution as we're required to do. So bear with me, it's a couple pages or so here. This is resolution CY22-01, a resolution requiring protective face mask wearing inside enclosed city owned buildings. Whereas the Gustavus City Council in May 2021 adopted resolution CY21-07, a resolution updating the requirement of wearing cloth face masks or face shields. And whereas the COVID-19 pandemic conditions continue to evolve and risk change with time, and whereas substantial or high levels of COVID-19 transmission are occurring throughout much of Alaska, and dozens of Alaskans are hospitalized with COVID-19 each week. And whereas the posted Alaska statewide pandemic alert level as of January 1, 2022 was high, red, with a case rate of 139.9 cases per 100,000 population. And whereas the posted pandemic alert level for our census area as of January 1, 2022 was high, red, with a case rate of 339.9 cases per 100,000, acknowledging the small population effect. And whereas two new cases were posted in Gustavus on December 31, 2021, and one more on January 4, 2022, and whereas as of January 1, 2022, both the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, CDC, and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services continued to recommend protective mask wearing in public spaces as an essential measure to reduce the potential for virus transmission during the pandemic. And whereas resolution CY21-07 authorized city department heads to determine mask wearing requirements for people inside their managed facilities, and whereas mask wearing is commonly required in Alaska and nationally in airports, on planes, and other public transportation, in public buildings, in stores, and in private businesses. And whereas employees and volunteer staff and city facilities have been challenged by some argumentative members of the public demanding exemption from the mask wearing requirements set by those departments. And whereas a universal policy regarding mask wearing expectations in city-owned facilities would provide clarity and authority for such measures, and whereas confident predictions for pandemic evolution are not yet possible, but changing pandemic conditions and infection risk reasonably suggest frequent reassessment of Alaska and local risk for opportunities to adjust or eliminate mitigation measures for city facilities. And whereas the city of Gustavus has proprietary jurisdiction and authority over city-owned facilities, and whereas the city of Gustavus has the legal responsibility and authority to maintain healthy workplace conditions for staff, volunteers, and their families, and for members of the public entering city facilities. Now, therefore, be it resolved. One, protective masks covering nose and mouth shall be worn by staff, volunteers, and public visitors inside all enclosed city-owned buildings, including City Hall, the City Library, Fire Hall, and the Community Chest, until further notice. There shall be no exceptions for testing or vaccination status. This resolution repeals and replaces Resolve Paragraph 5 of Resolution 21-07, which gave discretion to department heads to determine mask wearing requirements for their departments. The remainder of CY21-07 remains in effect. Three, the disposal and recycling center waste baler building is exempted from the mask wearing requirement when overhead doors are open and user traffic is limited as directed by the DRC manager. Four, Occupants working alone in enclosed private city offices are exempted from the mask wearing requirement, but must don a mask when meeting with other people in that room. 5, entries to city-owned facilities where mask wearing is required shall be posted with a sign stating the requirement. An explanatory handout shall be available for issue to persons questioning the posted requirement. 6, the city shall make available alternative means of conducting business without entry to city facilities wherever possible through outdoor meetings, curbside services, phone, email, U.S. mail, and online channels. 7, this resolution applies only to City of Gustavus-owned buildings. The city does not seek to regulate mask wearing in private businesses, other agencies, residences, or outdoors. 8, the mayor shall monitor pandemic risk levels and recommendations of federal and state of Alaska public health departments and shall report to the city council monthly regarding pandemic risk assessments and public health recommendations. In reporting, the mayor shall recommend whether to continue or adjust the protective mask wearing requirement for city-owned facilities. Criteria for ending the mask wearing requirement may include, but not necessarily be limited to, the following. Bullet point 1, Alaska statewide alert level drops to and remains low. 2, bullet point 2, Angoon, Hoonah, and Yakutat regional and Juneau city borough alert levels drop to and remain low. Bullet point 3, the CDC or the Alaska DHSS determine that the COVID-19 pandemic has transitioned from pandemic to endemic status nationally and within the state of Alaska. Bullet point 4, the CDC and Alaska DHSS end their recommendation for mask wearing as a pandemic protective measure in public indoor spaces. And then paragraph 9 of the now therefore be it resolved continues, the Gustavus City Council may repeal this resolution and the mask wearing requirement when it determines that the risk of the SARS-CoV-2 virus transmission within city-owned facilities is sufficiently low and that mask wearing is no longer needed. Okay. With that, we can call for public comment. We'll open the floor for public comment on this resolution. So if any members of the public have any comments about this, we'd be pleased to hear from you. Okay, I'm not seeing any public comment. Madam Clerk, am I missing anything? Okay, I guess not. Do any council members have any comment on this agenda item? Council member Joe Van Der Zanden.
Resolution you just read, CY-2201, states that the mayor can recommend to adjust the protective mask wearing requirement, especially if DHSS ends their recommendation that mask wearing is a protective measure. And I would like to reference a couple of doctors. One is Dr. Richard Ween, who is the chairman of the Alaska State Medical Board, and Dr. Joe McLaughlin, who is the Alaska chief epidemiologist. Now, neither of these are part of DHSS, but they are state officials. They stated in speaking to Sitka schools, as far as masking down there, that cloth masks provide no benefit against viruses. The only mask that does filtration is an N95, and then only if fitted properly. And a quote from Dr. McLaughlin, they do not work. You see the spikes, it won't affect Omicron and it won't affect the virus. And a short quote from Dr. Wien, cloth masks can be removed without any effect on mitigation. So in light of that, I'd like to ask the mayor and city staff to consider whether their testimony is valid and believable, these two men in authority in the state, and if so, to consider supplying city staff and volunteers with N95 masks, all probably already have them, and to relax the mandates on cloth masks and focus instead on social distancing and other more effective means of preventing any transmission. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Vander Zanden. Councilmember James Mikowiak. Mikowiak.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment that the Alaska State Legislature gaveled into session and they have a mask mandate for the Capitol, period. And I think that was wise and I supported doing it for our city buildings. Thank you.
Okay, any other council members with comment on this item? Okay, I'm not seeing any others. I'd make one comment on Councilmember Vander Zanden's comment, which I thought was an important statement to make. He's correct about cloth masks, and they are not, many of us were using those early in the pandemic, and it's now well known that they don't provide the protective measure that does an N95. I've got one in my hand here that I normally use. And I agree that with both Drs. Wheel and McLaughlin, I see Joe McLaughlin often on the Echo presentations every week, every Wednesday from the Department of Health, and he's excellent, of course, as our state epidemiologist. I do concur with, or do appreciate the suggestion that we provide N95 masks to all of our employees and volunteers in our facilities. I could support that. They're readily available now, and Vander Zanden is 100% correct that they're by far the best choice. Any other comments by council members before we go to a vote? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Vander Zanden?
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
No.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Mikowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Okay, a motion passes with 6 in favor.
Thank you very much. And I promise to do my best in relaying risk assessment information to all of you on the council as we together try to make sure we're applying the right controls, not too much control, but doing the right thing for everybody who's in our buildings. So thank you very much on that. The next item is item 10. It's a resolution CY22-02, certifying the annual certified financial statement of revenues and authorized expenditures for the year ending June 30, 2021. And let's begin with a motion. I believe Councilmember Muscoviac has a motion to approve this resolution. Councilmember Muscoviac, I think you are still on mute.
I'm sorry.
Do you have a motion to approve? I believe you have a motion to approve resolution CY22-02.
I move that the City of Gustavus, Alaska approve resolution CY22-02, a resolution certifying the annual certified financial statement of revenues and authorized expenditures for the year ending June 30th, 2021.
Thank you very much. Do we have a second? Well, I'll second it just to speed that up. The next item, let's see. Next is to read the resolution. Just want to make sure I was doing this in right order here. This is resolution CY22-02, a resolution certifying the annual certified financial statement of revenues and authorized expenditures for the year ending June 30, 2021. Whereas the City of Gustavus is a recognized second-class city, and whereas second-class cities are required by AS 29.20.640A2 to submit a certified financial statement of income and expenditures or audit for the year ending June 30, 2021 to the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the attached certified financial statement of Gustavus, Alaska for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021 is true and complete to the best of our knowledge. And this is a routine item that we do every year. By this point, we have a final, everything's closed out and finally for the previous fiscal year. So all we're doing is submitting a statement that, and statement for the last fiscal year to DHSS. So it's a very routine item. Do any members of the public have any comments on this resolution CY22-02? Okay, seeing none, do any council members have any comment on resolution CY22-02? Okay, seeing none, we can go to the vote. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Council Member Furr?
Yes.
Council Member Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all 7 in favor.
Thank you. We move to the last item on our agenda, having dropped 12 and 13, the last item of new business. And this is another resolution, CY22-03, submission of capital projects and information system, CAPSIS, to the Alaska Legislature. And This is another thing that we do each year to put before the legislature, sort of our wish list for capital funding. And I'll read the resolution in a minute, but first we'll need a motion to adopt. I believe Councilmember Van der Zanden has a motion for us on this one.
Yes, I move we adopt CY22-03 submission of capital projects and information system CAPSIS to the Alaska Legislature.
Councilmember Lewis seconds.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution CY22-03 submission of capital projects and information system CAPSIS to the Alaska Legislature. And so I'll have to read this one, which just a little over a page, so it's not too bad. Resolution CY22-03, a resolution nominating capital project submission and information system CAPSIS to the Alaska Legislature's funding requests. Whereas the GVFD has lost use of its smaller fire truck, Engine 27, which is contaminated with PFAS foam, replacing Engine 27 will be done with a 4x4 utility truck outfitted to better respond to wildfires. The truck will have a snowplow winch and slip-on skid for a 150-gallon tank. This benefits the community by adding another vehicle to respond to fires that can reach areas Engine 1 cannot. It will be smaller, making it more maneuverable than the full-size Engine 1, the only other firefighting truck in Gustavus, allowing access down tight driveways. And whereas the current main DRC building has outgrown its current operating capacity and a new building is necessary to provide adequate space for normal operations that is safe for both customer and staff. The facility serves as the customer interface for sorting recyclables and dropping off refuse and also houses two balers and a glass pulverizer. With increased use and projected growth, a new building to house upgraded equipment in the future is necessary. This project will construct a new main building of 6,000 square feet with at least two bays and one man door. There will be a concrete floor as well as areas of the building that have concrete push walls. And whereas the city of Gustavus owns the sole source of gravel for use on city roads and for private and commercial use, with commercial extraction methods available, material from the gravel pits could be exhausted in the next few years. The project will extend the usefulness of the existing gravel ponds by implementing an alternative extraction system such as dragline or dredge, along with support equipment, a truck scale, site preparation, and identifying an operation plan, including staffing, training, and storage and selling of gravel. And whereas the GVFD's volunteer roster and equipment have grown beyond the capacity of the fire hall that was constructed in 1981 and has expanded and repaired over time. That the equipment is stored outside either permanently or temporarily. The roof requires repair and expansion of the upstairs would allow for more classroom space and on-site volunteer quarters for faster emergency response. Architectural and engineering plans are needed to inform construction. And whereas the Gustavus Public Library was built by volunteers, grants, and donations with blueprints for the building designed for an expansion at some future date. As the population of Gustavus has grown, more space is needed to serve the public. Architectural and engineering plans are needed to inform construction. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council approves and prioritizes the following FY22 Capital Improvement Project CIP funding requests to the Alaska Legislature in the amounts indicated below and urges the legislature and governor to consider them favorably. One, GVFD firefighting utility truck, $73,000. Two, disposal and recycling center main building replacement, $1 million. Three, gravel extraction improvement project, $500,000. Four, Gustavus Fire Hall architectural and engineering plans for expansion, $30,000. 5, Gustavus Public Library architectural and engineering plans for expansion, $30,000. Okay, that's the text. Do any members of the public have any comment on this agenda item? Okay, do any council members have any comment on this agenda item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Council Member Furr?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all 7 in favor.
Okay, thank you very much. Having removed from the agenda items 12 and 13, we move to item 14, Mayor's monthly report. I'll just, you have it in your packet. I'll hit a few highlights, some of which were already covered by the city administrator, so we can skip them. Snow plowing has certainly dominated our road work this month, and we're aware that that the berms on the side of the roads have been squeezing our roads down. Many are only, that were 2-lane roads are now down to 1. The last week or so, some of that has shrunk back, but it's still a challenge. We have another snowstorm possibly coming Wednesday, and we'll be looking to see if there's an opportunity while plowing that to push berms out any farther. We'll see what develops on Wednesday, and we'll manage to get the work done, even though we're still pending the fund transfer or the fund appropriation next week. Tom covered flood recovery work. I'm hopeful we'll be getting something before too long, but from FEMA. But I've been hoping for that for months. It'll come eventually. And he also covered the mitigation grant application for the hydrology study. And we hope to have that, expect to have that application in with the great help from Todd Boris on some of the wording on that as a civil engineer. And we hope that we'll be successful in that. That study, by the way, will inform not only mitigation work that we do that grows out of the flood recovery that we've had. It also can inform a lot of future work, including new subdivisions that will require drainage plans. So this study is going to have broad value if we can get it funded. Grandpa's Farm Bridge, that's still before our grant application is still before the Forest Service Lynn Canal Icy Strait Regional Advisory Committee, and I talked to them just the other day. They were delayed in dealing with all the grant applications because they were short of committee members and didn't have a quorum. They're hoping to get to that this month, early this year. And the contact I had gave me some suggestions for an opportunity to reword and strengthen our application, and we're taking advantage of that. Good River Bridge repairs, P&D engineers, the consultant is still on hold till the snow goes away. pandemic measures. I'm going to read this one right from my text so I don't miss something. It did inform this issue, did inform our development of the resolution that we just passed. I met with city staff to discuss protective measures, particularly mask wearing requirements for people in our facilities. The staff expressed frustration and stress from dealing with argumentative challengers to the mask requirements. Challengers have sought to persuade department heads in some cases to change their policies for their facilities. Some very uncomfortable situations have developed that interfered with staff's work to provide the services for which they are responsible. All staff members supported a mask wearing requirement indoors in city facilities as necessary to protect staff, volunteers, and users of the facilities. They said that members of the public using facilities mostly approved of and appreciated the requirement to wear masks indoors in city locations. As a result, I issued an order as mayor to be posted on entries to City Hall, the Fire Hall, the Library, and Community Chest, requiring masks to be worn until further notice. This sets the responsibility for the requirement on me as mayor rather than on staff. Given the political nature of this issue, it seems best to have the decision be made by an elected official. We are assuring alternative channels for service delivery that don't require entry into our facilities. I also drafted the resolution on the agenda tonight to confirm and flesh out the policy clearly as a council policy. I will report monthly on my pandemic risk assessment and indicate any policy modifications that appear justified and possible. A COVID infection surge driven by the Omicron variant is occurring nationwide and in Alaska. Hospitals are experiencing worse overloading than has occurred at any time during the pandemic. Cases among children requiring hospitalization have risen markedly. This week, the statewide COVID alert level is high. It is high for our census district as well. Hospital capacity is limited statewide. The DHSS continues to recommend that Alaskans get vaccinated and wear protective masks in public locations. The DHSS recommends universal mask wearing in schools. I support continuing the protective measures in city facilities as set forth in the new resolution and will reassess next month. The Marine Facilities Use Agreement, we have some opportunities to make some improvements to that, and I've drafted improvements, and also I've developed a possible resolution for us to update the fee schedule for marine facilities. And we would do that without any increase in fees, but it would allow us to reference the requirement for a commercial use agreement for commercial users of the facility. So we'll have those for you on to consider next Monday night at the special meeting, January 24. We had an opportunity to promote trails in Gustavus during this last month. We submitted descriptions for three possible Gustavus trail projects, including to be included in the state comprehensive recreation plan known as SCORP. Those projects include a bike trail from the airport to the park boundary with an extension down Dock Road to the dock, a network of trails in and around the beach park, and an ATV trail or track. We hope that by including them in the SCORP, we may help position Gustavus for funding such projects. And I want to give a shout out and thanks to Ponch Marchbanks for keeping track of the SCORP opportunities and for his continuing encouragement for new trails for use by residents and visitors. Tom and I are also working on other infrastructure grant opportunities. We know the federal funding is coming to Alaska, and there have been opportunities to get some of our high priority items onto the list being promoted by both the Alaska Municipal League and the Southeast Conference. And what we put on as a top project. By the way, these are large projects. Mostly, they're not for most. That funding's for large projects, not for little things. So we are promoting a wave energy barrier project for the dock to reduce storm and wave impact on the city floats. And that's something charter operators and other local users have been promoting, have asked us to work towards. And it will also help us protect the steel float since it's beginning to look problematic to move that over to Pleasant Island every winter and then back in every spring. So if we can be sure that we can reduce the wave impact on that float, we'll have more assurance that it won't be damaged. Tom and I have been participating in Zoom conference calls with what's called the Sea Belt, Southeast Alaska Belt, similar to the Rail Belt organization with AML. And they are working to promote project funding for Alaska coastal communities. Docks and harbors appear to be a top priority for DOT funding using the federal infrastructure grants. On the city budget, we have a work session scheduled for Monday the 24th to start the budget preparation. Our meeting on the 24th will focus really on training on the capital budget and so forth. The city administrator has developed a slide set for that. So that'll be worked in along with our special meeting. And I've also asked council members Kyle Bishop and Bella Furr to help me with a review of staff salaries and hours in preparation for our budget work. So we will be reporting what we come up with to the council as the council begins to develop its budget for the next fiscal year. And I'm very pleased that both council members have agreed to join me on that. Gravel pit redesign model as the last item. I've had a little development since I wrote this for last Wednesday's submission. We have been hoping to move towards a new model of operating the gravel pits. You may all be aware that under our current operating model, we lease three areas in the pit to three different contractors, and they excavate gravel from their allotted spot and pay the city for that gravel. This is for their construction projects they do for privately and for residents and so forth. And we set a price in those contracts each year. We have been moving or hoping to move towards a single excavator model where we use a drag line to with a single operator to stockpile gravel from which contractors can come in and purchase gravel. We're not quite ready to move to that, it looks like, in February. So my guess is that we will postpone that for a little more testing of the equipment and consideration of how to develop that model. So we're likely to renew our existing model for this next year. And so that's my report. Do any other council members have a report do any of you have any questions on my report? I guess I should give you that opportunity. Complaints or whatever. Council member Lewis.
Yeah, I'm curious about the marine facilities use agreement. I guess a couple questions. Do we have one currently, or was there one for last year? And if so, could we see that so that we can see the changes that are proposed in the current one or the current draft that we're going to review next week?
I can answer that. There has not been an agreement of that type used before, with the exception of an agreement for the landing craft operator, the lightweight. And that's a little bit different situation, but we don't have one previously, and we'll have this draft ready for the packet on Wednesday, I believe. Council Member Muscoviac's working with me on this, and along with our City Administrator Tom Williams, we're going to take another run through it and make sure tomorrow that it looks like what we want to bring to the council. And if so, you'll see it on Wednesday, and I'd be happy to answer questions, of course, and as it develops.
I just thought when we were talking about the sea lion issue last summer, I thought it came up that we could hold commercial operators to some sort of use agreement. So I thought that we had sort of some sort of version of that, but you're saying we never have?
That's correct. That was what we were saying that we would like to do. Oh, I should state one of these was drafted in the past, but it was never put into operation. And we actually took that old draft, so it's never been affected, put into effect or implemented. So we took that draft and edited it to, we think, meet the requirements better. And that's what we had on the agenda for tonight. But we have edited that once again to make some improvements, which we'll bring to you, we hope, as early as Wednesday.
Okay, I guess just one more question on the same thing.
Sure.
So I just want to make sure that, I know that there are people looking at this and making sure that it doesn't basically, put their business under, for example. And how do we know that we've gotten enough input from the users of the dock? For some things, we have a full month where we introduce something and then the next meeting we're going to talk about it. But we're not doing that in this case. So I guess my question is, how do we ensure that we get all the input from various users? Because, the users of the dock don't all live in Gustavus, and they could be all over and not really paying attention to what we're doing here. So are we seeking input from dock users on this?
Well, it'll go on our agenda and be posted, and there'll be public comment when we take it up. If the council felt that we hadn't given it enough time for public comment, one of you could move to postpone to the February meeting, if you felt more comment was necessary. We have had some good input, particularly from local commercial fishing operators. And I think those have been, we're incorporating those ideas. And I believe it removes the burden from those will remove some of the burden that some of those users were concerned about. I don't think it actually makes much difference in cost or anything to charter operators who are they're already insured, and this proposal, as we're drafting it now, we expect to remove the insurance requirement, which was a liability insurance requirement, which was in the draft. So it just requires the commercial operators to do what the law says. And if they don't, if they are violating the law, then they could lose their right to use the facilities. So that's the basic idea. I think it is, as long as everybody conforms to the law and to our code, there should be very little, there should be really no effect whatsoever on their operations, as long as they're complying with the law for things like not feeding sea lions and so forth. So, I'll look forward to the comments from the rest of you as you see it come out. and as we address it next week. And if you think it needs more work after that, it can certainly be postponed. Part of the idea, though, was to get it out to them, since we already have commercial users paying their fees, their annual commercial fees for use of our marine facilities for their commercial boats. It's important for them to know upfront what the expectations are of this agreement, and to plan to train their crews and so forth on the importance of meeting its requirements. So I hope that's helpful, and you'll see a draft on it soon.
Yes, thank you.
Councilmember, okay. Anything else, Tanya?
No, just saying thank you very much for that explanation. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. And I should say we operate our marine facilities for the benefit of all the users, and we're not trying to burden users unnecessarily for anything. We want to make sure that the facilities are maintained and can be used equitably and safely by all that are interested in needing to use them. We're not doing anything here to say grab more fees or anything like that. We're just trying to assure that the facilities are available sustainably going on into the future for everybody to use. Councilmember Muscoviac.
Yeah, the fact that we're starting on this in early January, and part of the reason was we didn't want to surprise anybody in springtime. So we've got plenty of time to work on this, and there's plenty of time for input.
Yes. Okay. Any other council? This was supposed to be council reports, but period. But do we have any other council members with a report on anything there, any project they're working on for the city? Some of you have little things you're working on. Okay. I guess that we can move on to similar topic of council questions and comments. So this can be more broadly, not necessarily on any project you're doing, but if you have other questions or comments you'd like to raise, this is the time. Anybody? Okay, I guess we're good on that. And we'll have another chance to we'll talk about things next Monday. That brings us to the last item on the agenda. Once again, the opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. You all remember the drill on that. So if any members of the public have a comment on a non-agenda item, now's the time. We'd be happy to hear from you. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody. Madam Clerk, am I missing anybody? Nope. Okay. Well, in that case, I believe we're all the way through our agenda. We thank everybody who tuned in from the public to join us tonight. And thank you, council members, for your active participation. And we'll see you all next Monday for the special meeting, 7 p.m. January 24th. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. Good evening.